Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Father, we ask that you grant to us wisdom and insight into greater works that we have in Christ. Let every eye be open to this truth, that every mind be open to them. Let us walk in Him as He walks in us. Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching. The word teaching is important there. There's the word didaskalen, which we said means explanation. So the explanation. So one more time, the explanation. Now that means the scriptures are not just for mere quoting them. Right? The scriptures are for explanation. In other words, you must be able to explain them. And then, you know, explanation takes skill. Brother Higgin used to say that. He used to say that anything that you cannot explain in simplicity, you don't understand it. You see, that's the important thing about the truth of God's word. You must be able to explain something in simplicity, you know, to know that you really understand it. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, one of the characteristics of a bishop in the body of Christ, that's a pastor, a leader, is that he is apt to teach. Don't say apt to teach. Now, apt to teach is just one word, the didaktos, didache, where you have teaching, didaskalion, where you have didaskalos, where you have teacher, didaskalion, where you have explanation, but it means apt to teach, just one word. It means skillful teacher. So we have those who can teach, but they are not skillful at it. That means this skill is by training. Is by training, and training is a word used to bring up a child. For instance, bring up a child, you know, in admonition of the Lord. That is, it's a process. It's not something that happens because you hear a message. You can have a message, okay, you can hear a teaching, and then you think you can teach it. No, it's a training to be able to teach something. Now, let's examine that word apt to teach a little bit more. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, Paul used the same word. He says, for the servant of the Lord, 2 Timothy 2, 24, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all, apt to teach. So, he explains gentle. The word gentle is the word epion in the Greek, E-P-I-O-N. Epion means to be calm. To be mild, to be calm. In fact, it makes calm words. Words that you can pick. A teacher of God's word is not someone that you can't even pick what he's saying. It says he has to be calm, gentle. It says he has to be patient. And I guess many people need to learn this one. Be patient. There are people we ought to have taught the word of God, but because we are not patient with them. We're not patient. So when I started out in ministry, and I began to teach the word of God, I remember that I was always in a hurry. In one single sermon, I would say so many things. And I would say, go and study. I was dragging those verbs. But I was impatient. But as I grew, and I was exposed to the ministry, of Dr. Fred Price. Dr. Fred Price is someone who has been a blessing to me, a huge blessing to me. He's still a blessing to me. This year is 84. In a while, you know, here I've been teaching, and I found out the way he would painstakingly. I remember having to buy a series he taught on the book of Ephesians, late 93, about 94. The book of Ephesians. And I was looking forward to, because I saw it was a set of 12 tapes. Have you guys seen that thing before? You seen it before? Book of Ephesians? Did I show you? You seen it before? You saw it. All right. Didn't see it. The book of Ephesians. I still had it till 99, thereabout. So, here's a tape set, not CD, not MP3 or MP4 or MP5 or things like that. And I thought, 12 tapes. So I thought it would be 2 tapes per chapter. So I got a hold of the material, and I saw that all Dr. Price taught was Ephesians 6. I was stunned. 10 to 13. To 16, pardon me. 17. That was all he taught in 12 tapes. You know, a tape is 90 minutes. And I said, Jesus. And I said, that means there are more. He said, of course. He once taught a series on prayer. That is every service. He taught it for 3 years. You'll be prayerful. So, when I heard him, I said, I need to relax. So, I started to teach the way I teach today. Praise the Lord. I'm not a teacher. I just minister the word of God. If I have to teach it, I will. Right? But he is a teacher of God's word. Brother Higgins said this about him, Dad Higgins. So when I say Brother Higgins, it's not because he's a Brother Higgins. That's just what we call Brother Higgins, Dad Higgins. He said, if Fred Price teaches you faith, you don't have faith till you can never have faith. Brother Higgins said, if Brother Higgins should say that, then believe him. So I learned to be patient, that is to bear with people. That what patience there is used oftentimes for evil, to bear with evil. Anexikakos. You know, kakos is evil. Kakos, K-A-K-O-S, is evil. Anexikakos, A-N-E-X-I, it means to forbear. That means you'll have to take it in. Be patient. Praise God. And many of us here, we ought to learn that as we teach people. Sometimes our family members, sometimes our friends, we're just in a hurry. Say, he's there now. He's there. Check it. Check it. No, be calm. Is that okay? And explain it. Praise God. Amen. How many of you know that in this church, I take my time to explain? Do you know? I take my time. Because I'm not going anywhere. Praise God. So we're going to be here for a long time. Not this venue. Praise God. Amen. For a long time. Amen. There are things that I know I'm going to teach in 2020. There are things I know I'm going to 2025. I already know that. Remember when I started Soul Growth Salvation, I told you there are things I'm going to teach you like 3-4 years. I said that. Uh-huh. So I learned that. But back then, everything, it could read with 2 summons. All our presence, everything I'm teaching in the name of Jesus, that name of Jesus series, I remember having to teach it in 97, 96, and I taught it in 2 fellowship meetings. I once taught manifestation of the Spirit in 1 service. 1 service. And they all just left the big notes, but when shall we ever arrive? So when you want to teach people, be patient. One of the things I've learned in teaching is always listen to people as well. Hear the question well, so you can know how to explain. Now, let me say this quickly. Someone accused me, said, you say, let me say this quickly, but you're never quick. People are really quoting me. God bless you. You know something? And this is important. When you are teaching the Word of God, okay, the objective should never be to display knowledge. Do you hear me? The objective is to impact knowledge. To impart it. Not to display it. If I come to this service to display knowledge, I'll leave you hanging in the air. I won't do that. You learn to impart the knowledge. So sometimes you can say, I won't talk about this now. Because I say it now, no. Jesus himself said the same thing. You cannot bear them now. So be patient as you teach the Word of God. Let me add this to you. One of the ways you know that you're maturing as a Christian is your capacity to explain scriptures. That's how you know you are maturing. Are you listening? Are you listening? The last word there is meekness. The word meekness is used for being reserved. Be reserved. Be conservative. Be conservative. He said, instructing those, 2 Timothy 2:24, the word instructing there is used for discipling people. Remember, what did Jesus ask us to go to all nations to do? He asked us to what? Huh? To disciple them, in other words, to teach them. So you cannot give an excuse that you don't teach, because that means you're not obeying Jesus. I was telling you, was it two Sundays ago, that Jesus, was it last week? I don't know, that Jesus taught people from morning to evening. Was it last week? And they were unbelievers. And they didn't even go. Because teaching is what explains things to you. Still there? Are you still there? Instructing them. So I wrote in my notes, do not just dissipate knowledge, ensure you explain it. Very well. You break it down. So scriptures must be well handled. Is that okay? Then I'll add this to it. You must also be careful with your use of words. With your use of words. Because you are to impart knowledge, not dissipate knowledge, or just display it. Is that okay? Is that clear? I know some folks who say, well, sir, they think that they should go and get Greek words and Hebrew words and stuff like that. I just want to get, I know if I get Greek and Hebrew words, I will show them. And I said, that's not how to explain scriptures. I know people that quote Greek and Hebrew words and they cannot explain it. So that's not how to, that's not the study of God's word. That's just an aspect of the study of God's word. Is that okay? I, for one, I know something. That the most, after getting your information together, I know this one, even though I'm not a teacher, but I know this one, that the most critical is meditation. That you are just as good in explanation as you are good in the way you think about scripture. So, in my own private life, I endeavor to sit through, just two nights ago, last night I was marking the scripts of those students in our academy. Mark them into this morning. That just means your results will be out in the afternoon. That's not a prophecy. I thought it was going to be Monday. It's already out. So, and I took time again to meditate, to sit down and look through it again. And look through it again. And I learned from Brother Hagin, Dad Hagin, I learned to answer people's questions before I teach. How many of you know how I teach? You don't know it yet? I generate the questions. I know the questions. So I explain to answer them. Because I think about it with the scriptures. So, just don't just disseminate knowledge. You must learn to impart it. Praise the Lord. Is that clear? Does that bless you? Yeah, okay, good. Now, look at, that's why 2 Timothy 4:2 says you must teach with long suffering. What is it, long suffering? Some of you don't have, you don't even have the long, talk less of the suffering. It's short suffering. You don't get it. Why don't you get it? Go and pray. Go and pray, Yakana. No, you can take time and explain very well. I went to a congregation in 1997, and they were, none of them understood the things of the Spirit. Nobody. So I begged them. I said, you know what? Give me 3 days. I said, okay. I said, at the end of the 3 days, because there was someone who was a member of the youth fellowship, so he told the bishop of the church to allow us to speak. So they came, they had a revival meeting. So I said, give me 3 days. And I took time, line upon line, precept upon precept. And at the end of the day, the entire church was filled with the Spirit. The entire church. Nobody was left. And many of them began to prophesy. I took time. Step by. I knew the doubts on their minds. I knew their theology too. So I was able to. And I said, the bishop was, he came the second day. He was uncomfortable at a point. But I made him comfortable. Because I was referring to him. That's another skill in preaching. I was referring to him. Ah, you feel good. Not that I was not referring to him in the word, just in an illustration. You know, and then he said, he's really comfortable. And all that. But he didn't try to come out. I knew he wasn't filled with the Spirit. But he didn't try to come out. When I was the only person I'm not sure spoke to, but I think he did. Somehow, but not before the church, so they wouldn't know that he also got ministered to by the young evangelist that came to preach. So, learn to be patient, okay? Is that okay? When you are explaining the word. Is that okay? Now look at John 14. John 14. And you know, you cannot teach beyond how you understand something. If you don't take, for example, if you come for this service now and you're not paying attention, there's no way you can explain what I'm saying. John 14. Are you there? Are you there? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, verily, verily, just means truly, truly, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than this, the word works there is not repeated, shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, again, let's look at the facts one more time. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verse 25 to 27, the Bible records about Jesus that he met his disciples, and he told them, hold fast law of how to believe all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Now, look at 27. Luke 24, 27. I'm beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Luke 24, 27. He expounded unto them. That word there is diamenio in the Greek. Diamenio. D-I-A. Now, dia means what? Huh? To divide or across. Okay, diamenio. That is, a menu is where you have interpret. E-H-E-R-M-E-N-U-O. Diamenio. That is, he interpreted it across. That is, he used scripture to interpret itself. Old Testament. He used scripture to interpret itself. So, look at what he did. He went into details about this. What is this? This is the first time in the ministry of Jesus that he will be this detailed. The very first time. He had parables. He spoke a lot in parables. Before now, he spoke in parables. But this is the first time he will go into details throughout the scriptures. There was no other time he thought like this. The very first time. He will go into details with the apostles, the disciples. Now, we can have an idea of what he did. Acts 2. In Peter's sermons, we can glean a bit of what he did. No, so wait, mark this out. So Jesus' best teaching ministry is after his resurrection. But you know the interesting part? We were not given details of this detailed teaching. It was summarized. We weren't given details. But this is the most detailed teaching that he ever had. Until now, Luke records it again in Acts 1, 3 and 2, that he taught for 40 days. So, on Monday, they could do Genesis in the Leviticus. You get it? For 40 days, he was teaching. This is how someone said it. I don't know how correct this is. He said that, this is our teaching ministry. It's out with 400 guys. It became 120. Some were just tired. 40 days is too long. I don't have facts on that. So, but it appears plausible, you know, that, you know, like some folks just say, well, I don't want to go to that your church again. Say, why? They teach too long in that place. You know, if all we tried to do was sing throughout the service, and then just do, SMS is short message service in the preaching, some guys will be so excited. Not you. Not everybody here. 1 hour. And we're sweating. And the keyboard is just... they go like four drums, African drums. Then we have and 2 hours. Some guys will say, "Huh, I like that piece." The same person, if you say, if you begin to explain scripture by 20 minutes, he has huge cost. He huge cost it all. And now concerning visions and revelations of the Lord, how doubtless the glory. I knew a man 20 minutes ago who was in Christ. No, we don't get that, right? Praise the Lord. So I don't agree with the bell. I don't disagree, but I don't subscribe. But isn't there 400 people? They go, all right. It's okay. So 120. So that's about 280 folks just ran out of church because you were teaching. Now, this is the most detailed teaching of Jesus, yet we're not giving the details. But we can glean from what Peter taught much later in Acts 2. Are you still there? In Acts 2, Peter begins to explain from the scripture. Acts 2, 16 to 18, he begins to teach from Joel. And this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Do you know, until now, none of the apostles preached this way. None. The message they preached before now, was how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That was what they preached before now. Acts 10:38. That was their message. Jesus is anointed. He's anointed. He just preached from Isaiah 61:1-3. They never could preach from other scriptures until Jesus explained the whole scriptures to them. You know, we found out that even upon his resurrection, the disciples, before he taught them, they said that he is a prophet. Remember that? They still said that. So, he went into details with them, and so they came out also detail. You find Peter preaching from the scriptures. He quotes from Joel. Then, in Acts 2:25, he quotes from David. Psalm 16:8. I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. He's quoting from David. Again, Psalm 110:1. The Lord said to my Lord, that's verse 30-34, sit down at my right hand till I make thine enemies your footstool. So he quotes from Joel 2:28-31. He quotes from Psalm 16:8. He quotes from Psalm 110:1. Preaching Christ. Now, you know, so when it says, for instance, Joel said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Joel said that. But when Peter was going to explain that, he said it was Jesus who poured out his spirit. How did he know? Jesus told him. He taught him. He said Jesus did. So, note this. The resurrection of Christ is an explanation, or better still, as the explanation of scriptures. The resurrection of Christ. As the revelation in the resurrection of Christ. So, whatever we want to know about Jesus, we will know upon his resurrection. Now, pay attention to this, this is vital. No one in the four Gospels saw Jesus raised from the dead except the 12, then maybe the 400 and the 120. No one did. No one did. I'll take that one more time. No one physically saw Jesus. Not one person. Outside the 400, which could include the 12 or might not, and then the 120 or the 120. Not one person saw Jesus. Now let me add one more. Not one person saw Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father. The only person who was close to that was the man, Stephen, who saw it in a vision. In fact, he didn't see him seated, he saw him standing. Acts 7:56. No one. Why did I go into that? That means, and these issues that I just mentioned, is resurrection, is ascension, are the major bulwark bulwark or the foundation of the epistles. Yet it wasn't granted to men to see physically. Are you still there? Are you still there? Not one person saw him physically seated at the right hand of God. Not one person. Not one person said, I saw Jesus seated. The only person again after that, and that's the book of Revelation, will be John. John. And don't forget, John's letters were the very last. Okay? That means everybody had written and it had been read before John saw what he saw. So John did not say what he said because he saw a vision. Let me see if you follow what I'm saying. Is that very clear? Raise your hand if you do. I know everybody. Come on, let me see if you do. Just watch you go by it again. Oh, patience, right? You guys, you're not nice to me. You're not, go by it again. Not one person saw Jesus raised from the dead outside the 400 or the 120, right? Not one person saw him raised from the dead. Now, not one person, you know, there's been raised from the dead and seated at the right hand of God. No, there are two different things. One leads to the other. Not one person saw Jesus seated at the right hand of God because that was in the spirit. Not one person saw him physically do that. Not one person. The only person that saw something close to that was Stephen when he was being stoned, when he said that being full of the Holy Ghost, he lifted up and said, I saw heaven opened up and the Son of Man, that's the Son of God, standing at the right hand of God and the glory of God. That was a vision. And anyway, he said standing, he wasn't talking about him seated. And then we said John, who wrote about the Lamb that sits on the throne, wrote that after everybody had written about Jesus being seated at the right hand of God. Is that very clear? So that means whatever anyone wrote, they did not write it because they saw it physically. Neither did they write it because they saw it in a vision. Are you listening now? Is that very clear? So they wrote it because they knew it by revelation of the scriptures. That's very vital. That's why we said that the four gospels were written after most of the epistles were already concluded. So nobody was leaning upon the information of eyewitnesses on the things they wrote about Jesus. One more time, I'll remind you that nobody quoted Jesus in the four gospels. Except, we said, Peter, when he quoted what Jesus said about his death, which is a little bit plausible, remember we saw that. Also, we found that Paul didn't quote Jesus. Paul didn't quote Jesus. And we said, the closest where he quoted Jesus was 1 Corinthians 11 last week. Remember that? 1 Corinthians 11, the night he was taken, which everybody knew. So, Jesus' words in the four Gospels are not sufficient to understand who Jesus was. They are the words that he didn't say, or words that were not recorded in the four Gospels, that tell us more about Jesus. Still out there? Are you still there? So go back to John 14. So when he said, because I go to my Father, I go unto my Father, greater works, or greater things, because I go unto my Father. Now, obviously, from what we have said so far, Jesus is explaining from which scripture? John 14, 12. Jesus is speaking from which scripture? Which prophecy? Psalm 110, verse 1. Is that not true? Huh? Is that not true? Where I am, there you'll be also. Remember that? Okay, so he is quoting from Psalm 110, verse 1. Let's go there quickly. You know, I told you, now somebody's wondering, how come, I remember one time I was preaching something several years back, and I said, there's a kind of call, and I'm preaching, everybody's excited, that when you make that call, it makes Jesus stand up. That before, and I was praying for the side, and there was when I'm preaching, I'm jumping on the chairs. I said, no, Jesus was seated. He's seated. But when Peter was coming home, When he was coming home, there are some generals. When they are coming home, Jesus stands up from the seat. And then he's standing up. And all the angels are standing up. A general is coming home. And a nice rich. But nonsense. Absolute nonsense. And because people assume that that scripture seated at the right hand of God means to sit on a chair. That's why they don't understand we are seated in Him. That looks funny. To sit with Him, together with Him. That means He's laughing at all of us or something like that. So, seated, we assume that that's what it means. To sit on a chair. So that's why you, in your mind, you have three chairs. The Father in the middle. The Son in the right. Well, for those who have sanctified minds, the Holy Spirit on the left. For those who have been through a lot, the devil on the left hand. So, it really depends on where you're coming from. You see. And you know, interestingly, I have had a vision before, and I saw that. You know, when you know more of the Word of God, your visions will change. Now, not true? If you still have monkeys chasing you in the dream, and I want to say, Jesus, that is wake up. But you got that. Psalm 110 verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. Now, hello guys, are you following this? Make sure you don't lose this one. Okay? There's something you don't lose. Now, let me be patient. Give me a chair. Okay. Now, look at this very well. Don't bother writing. I'm going to talk to you. Sit at my right hand. So, that means there's a chair at my right hand. Right? And to her, I'm at her left hand. She's at my right hand. Am I right? We can't both be at our right hands. Okay. So she's seated at her right hand. That's what it means. Okay? Is that clear? Now, that's the way we've read it. But that's not what it means. What if we explain the word seated, remains just missing. Let everybody look at you. Aren't you beautiful? Psalm 110 verse 1. The word seated is the word yashab. Yashab in the Hebrew is used 182 times. And it is used for people who inhabit a place. Inhabitants. You know, there's a visitor who comes and goes. And there are those who stay. Okay? So, the word yashab is the word to remain. Now, to remain, in the Hebrew, it means, let me use it, continue to be or continue to remain. Now, put that there and let's see how it sounds. Look at it. Put it there, Psalm 110 verse 1. The Lord said to my Lord, remain you, where? Now imagine if we also have the word act as my right hand. Does that change anything? What does it do? It means you are my right hand. Amen. Are you following this? Okay. So, if we remove the word seat and put the word remain, does it change it? Does it change it? So we'll know that Jesus did not stand up in Stephen's vision. Alright? Does it also mean that you don't expect to see a chair and Jesus seated on it? If you find a throne in a vision, it is figurative. Amen. Am I speaking to anybody here? Are you there? So Yeshab means to stay. Now, right hand, the word right hand, let me go over it again. We said, sit means remain. Does it change it? Remain either at my right hand or remain my right hand. I'll tell you, you know which one to pick now. Because remain as my right hand or remain my right hand or remain at my right hand are not the same things. Are you following? I'm patient too. I'm wondering, I'm this slow this morning because I set a trap for myself early on. Now, what does right hand mean? Again, right hand in the Bible is the word Old Testament, Yamin. First of all, Yamin is used for the south. South, or that is geography, or practically your right hand. You find that? Yamin. Genesis 13:9. Where he spoke to that, Abraham speaking to Lot. Take the left hand and I'll go to the right location. Genesis 24:49. That I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Now again, pay attention now. Is used for ministering or authority. Right hand. Authority. Remember, when in Genesis chapter 48, when Joseph wanted Jacob to pray for his children, in verse 13, he took them both, Ephraim, in his right hand towards Israel's left. That is, Israel, this is Israel. He says, Ephraim towards his left, in his right hand. Then he takes Manasseh, okay, to his left and to the right. And he stretched that. So here is Israel, Israel is Jacob. He has Manasseh, okay, on his left. Okay, and on his left, right. And he has Ephraim on his left. Joseph wants him to pray for Manasseh, to put his right hand on Manasseh and put his left hand on Ephraim, because right hand will mean authority. Okay, now wait for this. So Israel stretched out his right hand and laid upon Ephraim's hand, who was the younger. Are you following this? Are you following this? And his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was a firstborn. You know, Jacob probably remembered how he was blessed. You understand this? And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, God did feed me all my life unto this day. The angel said, he went on and on. Here then, verse 17, Joseph saw his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim. It displeased him. He held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh. That is, it has a symbolic meaning. Are you following? And so he said, not so, my father, but this is my firstborn. Put your right hand upon it. He said, no, I know it, my son. I know it. He shall also become a people. He shall also be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he. And his seed shall become a multitude of nations. Is somebody following this? Are you following this? So that means right hand, that is right hand, is symbolic of what? Authority. Of being greater. Let me say that I'm following this. Are you following this? Uh-huh. Now, let me give you an example of that again. Just before now, when Joseph, he interpreted Pharaoh's dreams in Genesis 41. And then Pharaoh comes and he says, hey, that's a wonderful interpretation. Whom shall we put over this to do this for us who has the Spirit of God? it has to be you. Then he said, Genesis, let's look at the Genesis 41. Genesis 41. Now he said, for as much as God has showed you, verse 39, this, there is none to discreet, so discreet and wise as you are. Thou shalt be over my house, and according to my word shall all my people be ruled over my house. Notice that. Over my house. Only in throne will I be greater than you. Only in throne. And he said to Joseph, say, I'll set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. So he said, only in the throne would you be greater, or I'll be greater than you. In other words, what is he saying? He gave him absolute authority. What it means is that Pharaoh will no longer execute authority, but through Joseph. Is that very clear? Do you understand that? Do you get that? Except through Joseph. Only in the throne will I be greater than you. That is positionally. But in execution of authority, did Pharaoh have any other authority that Joseph did not have? No. The only authority he had Joseph didn't have is Joseph himself. Are you thinking? Are you thinking? Is 1 Corinthians 15 coming to your mind? Huh? About Jesus. Okay, wait one more time. So, right hand, which we'll go back to that, means to be greater, is to exercise authority. Now, quickly go to Exodus. Exodus 15. Verse 6. Alright. Two times. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Exodus 15:6. Thy right hand, O Lord, has dashed in pieces the enemy. Exodus 15:6. In the greatness of thy excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sent forth thy wrath, consumed them with stubble. Exodus 15:3. Exodus 15:12. Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Now, is he talking about the fact that he has a left hand? Huh? You get it? So right hand will mean what? Authority. Execution of authority. Now wait, what? That's not all. So right hand means execution of authority. Okay? So, go to Psalm 16. Psalm 16. Okay, before you go there. Deuteronomy 33, verse 2. The Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000 of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law from them. From his right hand, from his authority. Psalm 16, verse 8. So, is it clear that right hand is a figurative expression? Let me say that's clear to you. Is it clear to you? So it's not right side of a man, because there's no left side in this discussion. Right means authority. Okay? Is that okay? Okay, good. Psalm 16, verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me, because at my right hand I shall not be moved. At my right hand, no. The word here is very different. It couldn't have been the right place. So we should say, at his right hand, I shall not be moved. Do you understand that? Because the pronouns here were mixed up in the Hebrew. At his right hand, I shall not be moved. Psalm 16 verse 11. It makes it clear now. Thou showed me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are what? Pleasures evermore. So is it clear now? Is it clear? Alright. Psalm 17 and 7. Thou saves by your right hand them that put thy trust in you. You save by your right hand. Psalm 20 verse 6. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Psalm 21 verse 8. Thy hand shall find out all thine enemies. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. There's one that doesn't sound too good. Psalm 26 verse 10. In whose hands is mischief and their right hand is full of bribes. I don't think he's talking about a particular nation. Verse 11. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. So, Psalm 118. Psalm 118 verse 15. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth verily. Was observed something that every time he's talking about right hand, he's talking about salvation or saving. You notice it? Huh? You notice it? And destruction of the enemy. Do you notice that? Come on, did you notice that? Very good. So that's important. Don't forget that. Psalm 118. Then verse 16. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I remember one time, someone was singing one fellowship meeting, so this one, yes I know he lives. There's a witness in my heart. You know that song? Standing on the right hand, looking up above, I can tell that I know that he lives. So someone was telling me, there's a place of the right hand. When you stand the right hand to talk, and so one day I was with Reverend Chris Okoti and we were talking about that song. He said, no, what he was singing was the day that his wife then, she was given a testimony. And so as she was given the testimony, she now asked him, Pastor, is it true? So he now sang out and said, yes, I know he was. Because he was saying that our right hand, standing at the right hand, geographically. People are giving it spiritual meaning. You know, so I can kind of funny. But that's just by the way. So, look at this. Psalm 121, verse 5. The Lord is my keeper. The Lord is my shade upon thy right hand. His right hand, right? His authority. That's in Hebrew. Your right hand, actually, in the Hebrew. So, Psalm 110, is Psalm 110 saying, sit at the right part of my body? Huh? No. Is he saying, sit down on a chair? No. So, now let's look at this. Psalm 110, the word, we said the word right hand, it means authority. It also means greater, right? Does it also mean exalted? Huh? Okay, so let's read together now. Say, the Lord said to my Lord, remain exalted. Hallelujah. So, he's talking about his resurrection. Is that clear? Is that clear? Remain greater by resurrection, okay, and be exalted. Remain that way. So, this scripture is about the resurrection and ascension of Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, you don't make sense now if they say that you are seated at the right of God. Does it make sense to you now? Huh? It's clear now. Praise God. So, remain. What's the word? Don't forget. You sharp. Remain. That is, continue to be my right hand. So, can we have the word as my right hand? Which one do you think fits in there? As my right hand or at my right hand? Why? Tell me why. Why not remove the word as? Remain my right hand. What about that? At my right. So, you are revising the Bible. Anybody that asks these words, it will scare you with that one. Yeah, any other person? Have a reason for that? Remain. Okay, ask my right hand. Praise God. So, in other words, I'm going to execute authority in you. Right? Okay? It also means it's exalted. Resurrection. Praise God. So this happened at the resurrection. Is it clear? Alright. So you see, I'm sure you have that kind of vision again of Jesus. So when John was in and I saw the Lamb seated, was he speaking literally or figuratively? Thank you. You guys are, I need to learn from you. So, because you're very quick. So he's not speaking literally. The Lamb upon the throne. You think we're going to get to heaven one day and you see a throne? It's figurative. Alright? It's figurative. Jesus is not sitting like this. 2,000 years. You know, if you tell somebody, remain seated, man, that's a punishment. Remain seated. When I was in secondary school, that was the punishment I hated the most. I don't mind you flogging me. I once had a senior who beat four of us, 96 strokes each. 96 each of us. Four of us. It wasn't a big deal because they assumed that they beat the entire hostel and they did it 12-12. Everybody. So four of us. I don't mind that. That one is temporary. You go. But the one I hated the most is sitting. From morning till evening. I used to feel like dying. Just sit there. One told me, I'm going to make your life miserable. I said, why? He said, you don't smile. I said, why don't you smile? He said, that's how I was born. He said, I said, come here. I'll make your life miserable. When it was through with me, without a joke. I can't laugh now. So, when they sit at my right hand, you don't expect a throne. And that's why when we say we are seated in Christ, it's not a chair we're talking about. Praise God. Don't expect a throne. You'll get to heaven and say, there's one song about, all the angels worship before your throne. You know, I think there's a song like that. There's another song that says, we bow before your throne. So in your mind, you're thinking, you're already creating an idol worship. And before his throne now. So imagine yourself now before the throne of Jesus Christ. Have you seen the throne? How big would that throne be? Very wide. It doesn't have four legs. It has like 1 million legs. It's painted with gold. And Jesus is like this, like an octopus. Hallelujah. Christ is in us. Glory to God. And we are in Christ. Praise the Lord. So, seated doesn't mean to hang in there, you know, on a chair. Praise God. It means he remains. Hallelujah. God's exalted power. He remains resurrected forever. Praise God. He remains exalted. Is that okay? You learning something? Oh, good. So, notice what he says. until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Until. That word until is an old word. Okay? You know, I can say something like, until I get to you, wait till I get to you. So, you wait, or I will wait until you come. So, I'm expecting you, so I just say, I'm waiting till you come. Normal English preposition. But the word is not that same. The word here is in order. In order. Here's a Greek word, heios. When you translate that in the Greek, the Septuagint, you have heios, H-E-O-S. That is up to. In order. Up to. That is for. Now, doesn't that make sense? That means when it says, that's why it seems like there are contrary things in scripture, but they're not. That says, the Lord said to my Lord, see that I've exalted you, alright? That means you have all authority, all power, in order, okay, to make your enemies your footstool. So in other words, you got the authority, you have to use it. Do you understand? That is, you must use the right hand. Not by slapping people with your right hand, you know what I mean. You must use the right hand in order to bring the enemies where? In subjection. Let me see how that's getting clear to you. You must use the right hand in order to have your enemies in subjection. Now, let's go on further. Look at Acts 2. Glory to God. Now, Jesus said, where I am, there you'll be also. Hallelujah. So we are going to be there too. No, we are there now. We remain there. Praise God. See, I'm in a place of authority. Thank you, Lord Jesus. See, I'm in a place of authority. I'm in a place of dominion. Glory to His name. Acts 2. So, the word until is used for two things. Number one, for purpose and accomplishment. Purpose and accomplishment. Acts 2. Verse 32. This Jesus had God raised up, wherefore we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted. Acts 2:33. Exalted. Pathology? Huh? Exalted describes it. Right? That is a repetition. The right hand of God is already exalted. Being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received on the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, He has shed forth this. This is why it is not the Father who gave the Spirit, it is Jesus, because He is at the right hand. Praise God. He is the right hand, or at the right hand, He has the authority now. Glory to His name. That's why I said, greater than this, because I go to my Father. You get it now? You get it now? Great. Before now, Jesus gave no one the Holy Ghost. He couldn't give any of the Holy Ghost. He said, he that is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. For out of his belly, out of whose belly now? Out of Jesus' belly shall flow rivers of living water. So He spoke this of the Spirit, which those that believe Him should receive. But the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus had not yet become the right hand. Hallelujah. Do you understand it now? So Jesus was exalted. This one. Is that clear? Come on guys, is that clear? Mm-hmm. Praise God. So, He says, at the right hand of God exalted. So, having received the promise of the Father, did he receive the promise? Did he say, now take the promise? No. By being the right hand, he became the custodian of all of God's blessings. Hallelujah. Are you here? Still out there? Now, look at where this scripture was as well, was used. Before we go there, the word footstool quickly. You know, footstool to us is a footstool. Footstool, that's something that you literally stay on. No. Footstool is used for a place of subjection or a place of worship. A place of reigning, a place of activity, is the word Adam. Adam in the Hebrew. Let's see where it's used. Adam. H-A-D-O-M. 1 Chronicles 28 verse 2. Adam. 1 Chronicles 28 verse 2. Praise the Lord. As I praise the Lord. Look at this. First Chronicles 28:2. He walked in the ways of the king of Israel. Oh, First Chronicles, I'm reading something. And then David, the king, upon his feet, and said, Hear me, my brethren, my people. As for me, I've been in my heart to build an house for the rest of the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and for the footstool of our God, and I've made ready for a building. That is a place where God will be worshipped. Alright? Where men will come and pay obeisance to him. Who's to? Is that clear? Are you following? Okay. One more place now. Psalm 99 verse 5. Exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He's referring to his temple. At his footstool. Psalm 132 verse 7. We'll go into the tabernacle. We'll worship at his footstool. Lamentation 2:1. So basically he's saying he will make his enemies to be his footstool. In other words, they will bow. Okay? And they will be subjected to you. So, he's not talking about your feet, literally. Sit down, fall down for God, and match and match. Stop acting stupid. Alright? That's not, we should talk like spiritual people. It's not referring to the use of the feet. It's the use of authority. Okay? Is that okay? Is that okay? So, until... Okay? Until. Now go back again. Acts 2. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, it is 34, sorry. David is not ascended to heaven, but he said unto him, the Lord said unto him, sit down on my right hand until I make thy enemies or foes thy footstool. The word make, it is a word seat in the Greek. It means to, it's something that comes with what he said. That is, in what I have done, I have made your enemies your footstool. Those that were subject to you. Now before we go to the word enemies, look at where this scripture was used again after now. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul used it. Are you following? Are you following? Now here is Paul speaking about the resurrection of Jesus, and he says, and what is the exceeding greatness, verse 19, of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand. That's clear right now. Is that clear now? Okay. In the heavenly places. Far above all principalities and power, might and dominion and everything that is named. Not only in this world, but that which is come. And I've put all things under where? His feet. Not his feet, physical feet. Okay. And gave him to the head over all things to the church. Head authority. So, Paul says here, he has put all things under his feet. 1 Corinthians 15, So all things are under his. But look at this. 1 Corinthians 15. You know, Paul doesn't mention the word until. 1 Corinthians 15 now. He does here. He says, then come at verse 24. 1 Corinthians 15. The end. When he shall have delivered up the kingdom of to God, even the Father. When he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Let's take 25 together. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. Till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Amen. Is that amen? So mark that out, because I'm coming to that, is death. He had put all things under his feet when he said all things are put under him. It is manifest that he is accepted which put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Now, that describes what we read earlier. Which one is that? Huh? Pharaoh and Joseph. Remember that? Remember that? This describes it. Now, wait one more. One more. So, when he says he put all things under his feet, now Paul seems to let us see that there's an active part of this. Can you see it? That is, there's an active part of this. Now, Jesus is already in heaven in that context physically. So, he is not exercising authority, as it were, over anyone. So, definitely, that scripture relates to the church. Because, you know, he rose from there. He said, all authority in heaven is given me. And says, go. Say, go. Say, you go. Remember? He says, the works I do, he will do also. And greater works. Remember that? Because I go to my Father. So, Jesus used that scripture in reference to the believer. Are you following this? Now, what did Paul say? He gave head over all things to who? His church. Who are his church? Huh? Don't say the body of Christ. Say, we are his church. Say, we are his church. Say, I'm in his church. Say, like me, say, I'm in his church. Now, follow this now. It's important. He says, his enemies. Paul didn't use enemies in Ephesians. He used all things. Right? Right? And Paul explained all things. He said, principalities, powers, might, and dominion, and everything that he's named. So, in 1 Corinthians 15, he now was descriptive, he calls one of such things death. So, that means the enemies he's referring to are not physical beings. And the authority he's referring to is not to take over government in a nation. I hope that is clear. I hope that is clear. Is that clear? That's the kingdom of Christ. He's not talking about taking over the government of a nation. Now, follow this. He now uses the word, Psalm 110. He used the word foes, which is enemies. Please pay attention. It's the Hebrew word oyeb. O-Y-E-B. 282 times you find it. Oyeb. Oyeb is used for adversary. Adversary. Someone who comes against you. Now, in the Old Testament, what did they refer to as adversaries? Men. Men. But when Jesus came, he said, love your enemies. So you cannot carry Old Testament thinking. I've seen people pray and say, the Lord said that, and your enemies shall come one way, they shall go to this way, and he said, yes, in your office, anybody that, are you going back to the Old Testament thinking? Anybody, all your enemies, they will fall, he said, he will mark them to powder! They will die! You're talking like David. David was a man in the senses. That's why when those folks who were obviously inspired of the devil in Luke 9, when they refused to accept Jesus' ministry, and they were mocking him as it were, and the disciples said, Master, I know you read the Bible. Why here by Elisha? He called down fire and he destroyed everybody. Elisha did not know who the enemy was. He was a man in the senses. Jesus turned to his folks, Luke 9:55. He rebuked them. What's that word rebuke? Equity mercy. So whenever I see Brother Michael, just say, rebuke! I think Pastor Ayo should be here today. He rebuked them and said, do you not know the manner of spirit that you are of? For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save. He has come to destroy the works of the devil. Are you hearing this? That is the difference in how we think and David. He says, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Love your enemies. The word enemy in the Greek is the word ekcheros. I'll spell it for you. E-C-H. E-C-H-T-I-R-O-S. Some have another H anyway. T-H-I-R-O-S, but you can have it E-C-H-T-I-R-O-S. It's the same word for, oh yeah. It's, and you see, Jesus will say, when a man is like that, he says, you love him. Pray for them. Do good to them that hate you. Be kind. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, he now goes for say that you may be like your heavenly father, okay? Watch this now. You may be like your heavenly father who makes the sun to rise on the wicked and the just and the rain to fall on the righteous and the unrighteous. Now, God is not kind to the devil, but he's kind to the man that the devil uses. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So, you must be like your heavenly father. That's what the Bible says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It is carnality and witchcraft. I'll add that. Witchcraft to begin to single out men as your problem, as your enemies. Is carnality. I'm not saying Satan doesn't use men, of course he does. And some of these teachings are so devious that when they begin to preach them, they cause divisions in families. I know the person behind this. You are from a polygamous home? Yes. When last did you go to the village? I just came last week. What's it? Baba, what is it? Just wait. Holy Michael! there's somebody. I can see right now there's a woman. In your, and then they begin to create things. I've seen, they say, to husband and wife. Somebody texts me overnight, just last night, early in the morning, just this morning about 2 a.m. A minister of the gospel. He said, my wife is a witch. I said, have you ever been to their meetings before? He said, man of God, I know what I'm saying. She's a witch. I said, are you saying she yields to the devil? He said, no. She's a witch. I said, well, in the new covenant, in the old covenant, we had witches. But in the new covenant, we have witchcraft. And witchcraft in the new covenant is not somebody who wears black and has white all over her face. It's a work of the flesh. Let's talk like Africans now. You're Kana. Those preaching, they are so hopeless. People begin, I know churches where they preach these kind of things. And when brethren come to your house, as they leave, you anoint your seats. Father, everything they've got here. I know churches, there are people, you watch where you sit. There's a spiritual atmosphere in that area. I can't sit there again. That's those brethren. They divide husband and wife. You say, your father is after you. He's after you. They say that. Remember, something happened. When my dad passed on, someone said he saw someone who caused it, who caused his death. So I laughed. I said, okay, I've heard. They said I shouldn't go to the man's house. I shouldn't greet him. If he calls me on the phone, I should not pick it. So I left the house. I called the man. Nonsense. I went to his house. He said, I should not tell you where I was going. I told him where I was going. Know it. It's a lie. The man gave me Sprite. I drank it. If I was passing that day, I would break it because of that. You know. Then just a month after, the man lost his son. So I asked the person who told me, so who did that one? Me? I must have done it. I didn't know. You are not under the old covenant where they did not have the Holy Spirit. You have deeper insight into the affairs of this life than start singling out people in your office. I'm not saying people cannot oppose you in the office. But you see, they are not the enemy. Do you get it? And these things will get us to begin to fight things in the flesh where we ought to take our authority in the spirit. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Romans 12:20. Paul says, if your enemy is thirsty, you give him water. You give him water. You do good. If he's thirsty, my enemy is thirsty. Father, thank you. You will die in it. If you find water, it will be colored water. You will never find, you Christians, how it comes out of their mind amazes me. When I was in university, a lady, a sister, she used to lead praise worship. Very beautiful, because I ministered one time, she led very well, so I liked the way she, so I went to see the pastor who invited me for that conference where she ministered. So I saw her sitting outside. I said, what's going on, sir? We're in the same faculty. I was in the faculty of law. I was in 200 level. She was in the final year. So she said, so and so lecturer, he will die tonight. He said, he had decided to touch the eye, apple of God's eye. See, she went to the Old Testament. The apple of God's eye. He said, nobody touches the tail of a tiger and says, hey. Incantation. Christians, in their prayer, people pray like that. You are yielding to a demon. The demon that caused the problem is causing more problems through you. That's what's going on. So I said, let us say, no! He said, he cannot leave tonight. Why? He said, he's good. He gave me extra year. Carry over. Me. I'm a seed of excellence. I'm this one. I said, he's not going to die. Well, there are two reasons. Number one, he's not going to die. Number two, the man helped me to enter the school. I never told you this part of it before. Good enough. Do you know that my final year, I told you the story of how I was almost given an extra year. The man was the one who stood his ground. That was years later. You can see what I'm saying? So he's not the enemy. He's not going to die. So I don't know. She brought the other man, they prophesied, and I just left. The very next day, the man was there. She was there. The very next year, the man became the dean. And then I saw her in the buttery, the restaurant. And I went to her again. Sister, how are you? Bless you. She's ashamed because she was used of the devil. Man is not your enemy. Get it? That's why I said the last enemy that shall be destroyed is not Wally, is death. is not the chief of your village. He's dead. These are spiritual things. In those days when we lead prayer, we say, "Oh Lord, arise and your enemies." Now, when David was singing that, his eyes were on people. But in prophecy, now we know he's referring to spiritual things, principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world. Are you following what I'm saying? And your enemies, oh Lord, arise. When I was in secondary school, we used to have this kind of prayer. Saying, there was this principal that told us we should not hold fellowship meetings. We said, for every principal, there's a principality. Oh, yes, that day. That day we'll get to pray now. All those fear-inspired prayer. Have you got some prayer meetings before? They say, brethren, there was one brother. He was just about to collect an appointment letter. On Ojota day, Okada came from nowhere and hit him. Near miracle singing. Brethren, who is that person standing against you on the day of your appointment? Hey, Father. Who is that person who is standing against your promotion in life? Oh, Father. All of you is demons, you are using. Demons. We don't view human beings as the enemy. Jesus opened our eyes. We know who the enemy is. And we know what the enemies are. Glory to his name. Are you still there? So, he says, until he makes your enemies your footstool. Praise God. Hebrews 10. Are you learning something? So, I don't see things. So, when I read David's Psalms concerning enemies, I don't see human beings. Do you understand? I know better than David now. I see spiritual forces, spiritual entities, demons, wicked spirits. Are you Hebrews 10? Hallelujah. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? Come on, verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins for how many times? Forever. Sat down on the right hand of God from henceforth expecting, praise God, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Now, expecting means is actively waiting. There's a work going on. The work of the church. So, when Jesus was saying greater works, that means we will put the enemy in his rightful place with those works. Are you hearing this? Are you following this? We'll put the enemies in their rightful place through these works. In their rightful place. Or places. Are you still there? Are you still there? Ephesians 6, 12 to 11 to 12. He says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Not against flesh and blood. Hallelujah. Not against flesh and blood. One time, we went to preach somewhere. It was, I had a crusade before this one. And then they said there was this man who was so powerful that nobody could enter that village without, you know, consulting with him, that we couldn't hold the crusade. So I said, where is his place? They said, it's in the bush. I said, let's go. So, we were going towards the place. And my team, they were just behind me. We were together before, but they moved a little bit behind. So, we were going in. And I saw the place they called his house. It was like a hut. Not a hut. Built with, what do you call it? A bamboo. So, he had a skull on top of it. Now, in my experience of mission, I knew that anybody that has to design his place like that is a wicked. He wants to scare you. He doesn't have much power. So, I said, this is the place. So, I walked in. Now, the man, obviously, He was into voodoo. He had fire burning, incense and all that. You get it? But I knew he wasn't the problem. His death doesn't make anything stop. So I marched over the fire. The man was scared. He doesn't, You know, and that was like 22 years ago, so I must have had, you know, a smaller body. So I just stepped over. He looked at me. I laid hands, whoa! He went down the bar, bah! So my team came in. So we got him up. He got born again, dead. Praise God. Filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the greater one. What did we do there? We made the enemy. Hallelujah. Amen. Not that the guy is the enemy. Let him die. No, that's not what Jesus said. We give life. I said we give life. I said we give life. We minister life. We don't destroy men's lives. So I say, there's judgment of God coming to Mushi. Mushi, oh Mushi! Sorry, I didn't wait for Mushi. Mushi! See how they are smoking him. Ah, God is angry. Shut up! How do we execute judgment? We go there and preach the gospel. And we set them free from the power of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear son. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? We are at the right hand. Hallelujah. Hebrews 2. Now, it says the last enemy that shall be destroyed is dead. Now, don't forget that. The word destroy means to make inoperative. To make inoperative. Hebrews 2, 14, 15 already says, Jesus had destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the enemy, the devil. So, the power doesn't lie with the enemy. He destroyed him. So, he says, the last enemy that shall be destroyed, he's dead. We'll come to that next week. So, we are in that authority now. Glory to God. I said, we're in that authority now. I said, we're in that authority now. I said, we're in that authority now. Now let's go to a few basic things quickly. Philippians 2. Glory to God. Glory to God. Are you getting blessed? Are you sure? Glory to God. Amen. So when someone says, I take authority over you evil spirit. Don't say, you will die for my sake. You will not live. You are both in the same realm. Say, I take authority in the name of Hallelujah. There was a brother like that who was into spirits. He became so violent towards the word of God. He used to be someone who were bringing up. So they told me, that brother is this. I went to his room. I got to his room. He began to talk and he was speaking. So as he left the room, I said, you spirit, don't follow him back to this room. You hear me? Don't follow him back to this room. Stay where you are. When I'm gone, then go back to him. It is right. He came back calm. Oh, yes, sir. And he gave me food. I ate. We talked. And I left. I'm not sure what I think came back immediately, but he knows. So, that's the authority we have in Christ. Praise God. If anybody is doing it in your village, you set the person free. If anybody is going to do voodoo against you in your village, you set the person free. And set the demon too free. Both of them should be free. Free from themselves. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Look at this quickly. Philippians 2. Are you enjoying yourself? Talking about Jesus. Verse 7. Made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made like as of men. That is in his incarnation. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross. Glory to God. Woo! Look at 9. When I read this, like Pastor Fisher, there's some verses when you read them, they are shouting verses. Hallelujah. They are shouting verses. Look at this. Wherefore God has also has highly exalted him. Oh! And given him a name. Is this the incarnation or the resurrection or the ascension? So the name, could that name be Jesus? No! Name is not referring to spelling. Name refers to a place. He has given him a place that is above every other place, every other authority, that at the name of, not at the mention. Hallelujah. Now, so the name of Jesus is the right hand of God. Hallelujah. We're in that name now. Glory to God. It's not at the mention. You may not need to even talk about it. You may not even mention the name. You are in the name already. Hallelujah. Say, I'm in the name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Say that the name of Jesus. So, that's why in John 14, quickly run there. In John 14, I'll close. In John 14,
You're learning something. We're walking in greater works. Hallelujah. I'm not problem conscious. I'm authority conscious. Hallelujah. I'm authority conscious. John 14. Look at that. The works I do, he will do also. And greater works. Because I go to my Father. Look at the next thing he says. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name. Is it clear now? Which name? Four Gospels or the Ascension? In my name. In my name when I go to the Father. Don't forget, he says, where I am, there you will be also. That is in our name. Hallelujah. So the name of Jesus belongs to the believer. I'm not talking about J.E.S. here. Don't go and change your name to Jesus. I have the name of Jesus. So my name is Shegu Jesus. Don't be silly. That's not it. Some people have changed their names, but they have not changed their mindset. I used to be Fakule. Now, I will be Jesu Kule. You see, I would have preferred if you were being Fakule. Because nothing makes the devil stupid or makes him furious to know that you don't see anything in Ifa. So what is, someone say, Ogun, my name is Ogun Dipe. That was years back. Ogun something. I said, Ogun depends on how you see it. Ogun, Ogun, Ogun. Ogun, Ogun. Ogun. I said, really, it's how you see it. Alright? Makes no difference. So I said, well, there's no eat that food. It was prepared by the devil. The more reason why you should eat it. Paul says that, let no one say it's a food before belongs to an idol. Said, there's no idol in this world. For the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Say, it belongs to the devil. Where is not that number? Where is who gave you property? From where? The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Where is your certificate that you own it? For where? Glory to God. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. I sit at the right hand of the Father. I'm there now. Does it make sense to you now? We're in the name now. We have the name now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He said, whatever you ask, that word there is to demand. To demand, you will talk just like Jesus. So you will talk just like Jesus. Peter and John, they were the beautiful dead. And a man, crippled from birth, he was there. Nothing can invalidate the fact that it's very likely the man was that crippled when Jesus was around. Very likely, because it was the same thing. And Peter and John. Peter said, look on us. How about that? Seated at the right hand of God, said, look on us. They said, look unto Jesus. Said, look on us. Where he is, that's where we are. Look on us. The man expected no resistance from there. He said, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, I give you. I thought they said he gave the name to Jesus. No. The name is the right hand. Anyone who is saved is there now. Just silver and gold have I none. Such as I have, I give you. Such as I give you. In the name. So that means the name is ours. Of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. They demanded something to be done. You know, they didn't pray. Say, Heavenly Father, oh, move in this place today. No. We have to move. The Bible says, he sat down at the right hand of God, expecting. Who is he expecting? The ones he gave it to. His church. We are his church. We are his body. Hallelujah. The Bible says we are members of his body. You know, the head doesn't have a name and the hand another name. Hallelujah. The same life flows through us. The same virtues flow through us. The same power flows through us. I said the same life flows through us. What is in the head is in the body. Glory to God. Said in the name. That's where I went. Some folks were trying to do the same thing. Sons of Sceva. Say we adjure you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preached. They knew this one didn't have the name. Whom Paul preaches. He said, those demons were smart. Some will have left. He said, no. Jesus, I know. Paul, that means that demon has been around for a while. Paul, I'm acquainted with. That means Paul has been chasing this demon around. Which demon have you ever chased? Or they have been chasing you? Hallelujah. They had a run. There's a woman, years back. She was a Muslim. She came for a conference we had. We called it Miracles Extraordinary. 1998, where several people were healed. So she brought her daughter who was paralyzed. So I asked everyone to lay hands on anyone you brought who was sick. So she laid hands. So she said, I said, just say in the name of Jesus. She's a Muslim. She said, in the name of Jesus. And then the girl walked. And then someone came to me and said, Pastor, how did it happen? He's a Muslim. I said, does the devil know? Do you know the name of Jesus? The gospel is so powerful that an unbeliever can preach it and someone will be saved and he is not. It's independent of man. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Oh, hallelujah. That will walk in this truth. That our eyes will be open to it. That everyone who is weak today becomes strong. Everyone under the sound of my voice will walk in the glory of God. And they will see themselves in Christ. And they will walk in these realities. As a minister, they will minister just like Jesus. Not Jesus in the four gospels, but Jesus exalted at the right hand of the Father. Today, they will minister that way. And as they do, the Spirit will flow with power. And those who are blind will see. Those who are deaf, their ears will be unstopped. And those who are crippled will walk. And those who are bound by the religion of Islam, bound by the religion, traditional religion, they will be set free as we walk in this name. As we walk in the seats at the right hand of the Father. And as many as are hearing this, anytime they hear it, this year, next year, 20 feet, 60 years, in any nation they hear this message, they will stand to their feet and take their place in Christ. And they will do exactly what Jesus said we should do. To ask in His name. They will ask in His name. And things will happen. Anywhere they hear this message. Anytime. 100 years from now. Revelation knowledge will come to the hearer. He and she will pick his place in Christ. And walk in the benefits there. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and worship. Give Him praise.